a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, the Prince George Cougars podcast. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the PG Cougars, and it's the mid-season break, if you will, for the Cougars. Right now, sitting with a record of 18-9-3-2, they've completed 32 games. First place, BC Division, by 2 points over Victoria. So let's, Mark, take a look at that overall. We'll look at the home and we'll look at the road, but let's look at the overall record, the overall performance. You are in first place. I think that most fans would thought that would be the position you would be in. Some may have thought you'd have a little bit of a bigger gap over the next place team, but Victoria's played very well, and you give them credit for staying pretty close to you. How do you assess the first half of the season for the Prince George Cougars?
Well, for me, it's pretty simple. We're in first place in our division, second place in our conference. I think when you look at everything, I think we've set ourselves up really good. When you look back at some of the things, we've been to the U.S. twice. We've been to Alberta twice. We've had some real hard games, and I'm really proud of where we're sitting right now.
So let's look at home. 10-1-3-2. As a matter of fact, that one loss in regulation, it came with less than a minute left, and you had a lead going into the final 2 minutes, and that's the only loss in regulation going back to January. The 10-1-3-2 is for this season. The crowds are up. You're averaging over 4,000. Now, you're playing pretty decent on the road at 500. We'll get to the road in a moment. But let's take a look at what you guys have been able to do consistently at CN Center. 10-1-3-2. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's really impressive, especially when you talk about, going back that far. It's really, realistically, you would never think that would happen, to have a record like that. So, it's just one of those things where, maybe it's some matchups and maybe it's, you win some games you shouldn't. And, it's just all those things go into hockey. And the consistency part at home is something that we always strive for. And that's what we've done.
But you take a look at the building, and when you first arrived in Prince George, there weren't a lot of fans, and then we had the pandemic, and then with the team trying to become really competitive, it took a while to get the fan base back. But now you're averaging over 4,000 fans per game. Last season it was 3,500, and before that it was in the mid twos. It has taken a significant increase. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact the team is winning, but having more fans in the building, we hear time and time again how much it helps the players and the team. Can you try to put it into perspective what that does mean?
Well, for everybody, it's atmosphere. You're coming to the rink, you're playing for the fans, you're playing for the crest, you're playing for the city. That's what it's all about. We have a good team. We're an exciting team to watch play. I coached a team that, you watch a lot of video, and the way our team plays, it's exciting. We can play pretty much any type of game any other team can play. So, that's pretty gratifying, and we built it. It took a while to build, which it does. We built through the draft. There's a lot of people that put a lot of hard work into where we're at right now, and the scouts, the ownership, the people in the front office, and right now we're it's not reaping the benefits. It's where we want to be, and we just want to keep this going. That's pretty simple to say and do the right things and keep improving and keep the fans happy.
And you can't leave your games early. You're not blowing teams out this season. You're not getting blown out. You've had great comebacks. You've blown some leads. All in all, I mean, we have to be there right to the end, Mark. And I mean, it might be a little bit difficult on coaches and the nerves, and maybe even for some of the fans when they see some of the topsy-turvy that goes on in some of the games, but that's all part of the season. That's all part of the excitement.
Yeah, you can, you know, everyone around here really focuses on our team, which they should. But when you look around the league, the same thing's happening. These are trends that are happening in the NHL. They're happening in the other side. They're happening in the Western Hockey League. They're happening all over the place. It's and that happens, you know, season by season, different trends. You know, one guy gets a puck in the face, and then the next shift, another guy does. It's just weird how that kind of stuff happens.
So you are seeing more of a trend this season with blown leads and come from behind in the third period than other seasons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more.
Right. On the road, you're 8-8. You're able to get to 500 after winning your last game prior to the Christmas break in Kelowna by a 5-3 count. I know that was a goal to get to 500. Obviously, you want to be a little bit better than that as we go into the second half. But now talk about the highs and lows of the team's performance away from CN Center.
Yeah, you know, it's just some consistency. You know, we had, you know, there's always construction with our lineup. We started out, you know, with a real young back end, a real promising young back end. You know, we worked our way through that. You know, everyone's starting to get better. You go on the road, it's always tougher on the road with matchups and stuff. You know, and we've traveled a lot. We've traveled a whole lot. And these aren't excuses at all. This is reality of where we're at. And we've blown some leads on the road. You know, some games that we've had control of, and they've come back. So there's different reasons why we've lost. But it's not concerning. You just have to keep working at those things, and they'll work out because we got a good enough team.
The one trade you made prior to Christmas, and of course you've got until January the 10th to finalize your roster, but you did make that deal where you acquired Corbin Vaughn from Regina. You had to give up Efren McNutt. You had to give up a second round pick. Tell us the thought process, how long that was in the making. Give us the inside as to that deal.
Well, it was going on quite a while, and we certainly didn't want to trade McNutt, and Vaughn, it's when people come available. Sometimes people don't come available. Sometimes they do. When he came available, he was a person of interest for us. And, you know, so you make the phone call, and that's exactly where it started. You know, we couldn't do anything. McNutt got hurt. He wasn't even in the picture, like, for the trade, but they needed to have a player back, and they wanted a D, and you go back and forth on different scenarios, but he was a player of interest that we really wanted, and you have to give up a good player and a high draft pick to get him.
He's a physical player, and I think that is one thing you felt that you needed, a little bit more feistiness.
Well, we're a feisty team, and it's well known. He's a real physical player. He's a real tough kid, but he's a real good hockey player too. You know, we just don't go out and trade for, you know, guys that just are real tough and stuff like that. He's got to fit into what we're doing around here, and he really does. He's an excellent hockey player, and he's really tough. But I've been really impressed with him since he's been here. You know, he was away from the team for a while, and you know, he's just keeping him. He wasn't playing against anybody. He was skating by himself, and he just stepped right in and looks real good.
Now, he has had some suspensions, a few of them. Was that a concern, and have you talked to him about that?
Oh, yeah, you always talk about it. It's no different than a couple of the other players that we've traded for in the past that turned out to be good players here. You know, he plays with a lot of it. He plays for keeps, and, these types of players are very welcome. Our team and their team players, and you know, we did our research on them, and you know, those are the type of players that you can win with.
Yeah, and again, that's I guess there's that fine line when you know you've got a feist, you've got a physical defenseman, and you know, at what point do you try to control that sometimes, and then other times you don't want it, because you want the player to play at peak efficiency. You want that physicality that they bring, but at the same time, you don't want to cross that line. And I guess that there's always a fine line, I guess, there.
Yeah, that's for everybody.
Yeah.
And look at our two young guys right now. They got 3 games and 2 games, and you know, for hits. So, you know, he's a physical player that has, you know, he's learning the games he's played with us. He's made some excellent hits, some big time hits, and you know, they're all within the rules. And you know, sometimes you know, the kids get emotional, and it's not just him. He's got a target on him now. He knows it. He's been suspended a few times, and but I really like the way he goes about his business.
All right, let's take a look at special teams. The power play, number 8, 24.8%, one shorthanded goal against. I'd say maybe a month ago, your power play was actually number 1. So at number 8 overall out of 22, that's pretty good, but it's probably not quite yet where you want it to be.
No, it's not. It's still good. It's still good. You always want to be, you know, top 10, whatever, in both categories. And the power play, you know, for me, it's not so much about the percentage right now. It's about momentum. And it's not giving us some momentum at the right times. It's not scoring at the right times. It's a lot different, you know, because everyone compares to last year, but it's a whole new power play. Different people on it, and different people in different positions that we're working on all the time.
Penalty kill. It has consistently been in the top 5. Now sitting at the break at number 4 at 82.4%. 4 shorthanded goals. Overall, I think that you would be pretty impressed with that penalty killing unit. And I think if somebody was to say mid-season you're going to be number 4 with this group, you would have signed up for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's our penalty killing's good. Our special teams are good. You know, it's a big part of our game. And it's just like everything else. You know, you're going to have times when it's not going to work. You're going to go on dry spells. And that goes with penalty killing, and that goes with power play. Some are going to go in that you know, that don't normally go in. There's a lot to do. But the consistency in our penalty killing, and we can go back a few years now, that are on our special teams that have been really good.
Yeah. All right. So as we take a look at the Prince George Cougars, you know, at the break, we've talked about the special teams. We've talked about the overall record. Now we're going to sort of look at, you know, the forwards, the defense, and the goaltending, all obviously very, very key. Before we do that, though, I want to just sort of take a look at the standings. So in the Eastern Conference, for example, 6 points separating 1 to 9. I mean, that's almost unheard of at this time of the year. And just to give a comparison, in the Western Conference, there is 27 points separating 1 from 9. If we take Everett even out of the consideration, there is still, you know, separating 2 from 9, there would still be quite a gap. How do you sort of look at where the standings are overall? You're obviously more concerned with your conference, the West, but also give us your insight as to what's going on in the East.
Well, like I said, it's like a different league over there. You know, we went through the Alberta division, and, you know, that's where we've had some trouble. So there's, you know, those teams on that side are really good. Different cycles with some teams over there. You can see, you know, Moose Jaw's at the bottom. You know, they did, you know, they're selling right now. They won the championship. You know, the Swiftcurrent Broncos are, you know, they're a real good team. And you never know what they're going to do, because they're right in the hunt too. So I think it makes it, you know, exciting for a lot of people. But, you know, for the general managers and stuff, and how they're going to keep going. And in Saskatoon, you can put them in that category too, because they paid a lot last year to take a run at it. So, and these teams are all in the mix right now. So this is going to come right down to the trade deadline on where everybody sits at that trade deadline. And then they'll make their decision on what direction they go. But right now it's just so tight, you just don't know what direction you're going. It doesn't matter what team it is.
Yeah. Now, in the West, it's a little bit of a different situation. Kelowna knows they've got the 2026 Memorial Cup. They won that bid. So they have to be looking at their roster for 25-26 and realizing that, you know, 24-25 is a preparation, whatever kind of year you want to call it. But, you know, pretty obvious now they're not going to put a lot of effort for this season. It's all about the following season. So that takes them sort of out of the mix. Kamloops is still in a rebuild. Yeah, they've improved. I don't know if we would call them a contender. Maybe you would. But, you know, it looks like the strength of the West BC division, it's Prince George and Victoria. And then in the U.S. division, I think they've got four really strong teams. And then the fifth one, Seattle, is pretty capable.
Yeah, they're all capable. You know, you talk about Kelowna and stuff. You know, you look at the, you know, the guys they have over there. They got some good young players. They're a good team. They're well coached. Bruce knows what he's doing. Again, any of these teams, I don't count anybody out because, you know, they can all throw a good game at you. They got really good pieces and. So, you know, Kelowna, they're where they're sitting right now. They're in eight spot. And they had Crystal in their lineup, which is, you know, he's such a big factor. He's probably the best player in the league right now. And, he can do a lot of things by himself. Yeah. So if they do trade him, which I think they will, they're going to get, it's not just going to be draft picks coming back. They're looking to get players back for next year. So, as they sell, they could get really good.
Right. So now, as the general manager, you're going to be talking with all the teams right up to and including January the 10th. What is the strategy now? You probably, you know, you upgraded at the back end with Vaughn. Some might think you may want to get even though you've got a lot of firepower up front, you may want to, you know, add to that if you can get a top six, but you have to pay quite a bit. If you get somebody that is in the top nine, you might pay a little bit less. You know, I don't know if you think you're done on the back end. It depends on who's available. What is the strategy for you up to January 10th?
Well, we're looking to get better, and it doesn't matter what position. If it's the right player, you know, we're going to go after the right player, any position. We could use depth. We could use top six. We could use top nine. We could use D. Not saying that we don't have good D or anything like that, but we're always just looking to get better.
You feel, I would imagine, that the way you're constructed now, this team, if things go right, can be a championship team?
Well, we're going to be, you know, you hope to be right in that mix, just like, you know, that's what we've been striving for. You know, championship team, I stay away from those conversations. They don't help anybody. They certainly don't help our team. That's for people to talk about. We're competitive and we want to try to get better.
Yeah.
to win a championship, boy, that's special. So in the back of our mind, that's where we want to go, but we need to get better.
Right. We're speaking with Mark Lamb. He's the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You're listening to the Cats Can podcast. Let's take a look at 2024 as a whole. We're going right from January to December. For you, what was the high? What was the high? What sticks out the most? And what was the low? And I could maybe guess the low, and the low may have something to do with almost the high. And I'm guessing, I'm just going to guess, the low would be, in some form, game six, double overtime versus Portland, even though it was a fantastic game, a fantastic series. But when you're that close in such a fantastic game and atmosphere, that one would have taken some time to recover from. But I want to know from your perspective, as you look at 2024 for the Prince George Cougars, a standout moment for you and that one moment that, oh, gosh, yeah, that was tough.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying you know, that's a, you know, that's a gut punch, but very proud of the team. You know, we got that far. We got beat. It was a great series. You know, that and that's hockey. There's a, you know, it's not like they ran over top of us. It's not, it was a very even series. Could we have won it? Well, they beat us, so we have work to do. And, you know, reasons for it, you know, we had losing Parisak, even though they had some injuries. Parisak is someone you cannot replace at all. And, you know, and that happened in that series. And you know, Zimmer coming back and giving it his all. And we're playing, you know, right with them. So, you know, that was pretty gratifying. But really, you know, it really bothered everybody. But it was, when you look back at it as a coach, it's gut-punching. And as a GM, it's like what an experience that we went through. Look at the experience that, you know, 4 years ago, the first year we made the playoffs here, we had three games of playoffs experience, something like that. I can't really remember. And now we're turning into a, you know, a real veteran grizzled team that's went through some tough series. And I tell you what, you need to do that to win.
Right. So that, I guess, was the obvious. I don't even really want to call it a low, but a gut puncher, as we said, because you were so close. And everything you said and everybody that watched that series followed it. Hockey at the WHL level at its finest. Now, I know you're going to have a lot of choices about the high. What sort of sticks out to you? I mean, you did win two playoff rounds. You did get to the Western Conference. Was there one game? Was there one moment? Was there one instance? Was there one where you got together with the coaching staff? You got together with the players? Oh, this is awesome. This is there that one moment as you look back on the year to get all that satisfaction from?
No, there's not one moment. There's just so many highs and there's individual stuff, but it's all about the team. You know, getting that far was all about the team. That's a high because it's all together. There's a lot of individual stuff that's what you get when you have a really good team. You're going to get that stuff, but that's not what it's all about at all. It's all about winning that game that we lost, and that's why it's so tough. But when you don't get something that you really want in sports, if you learn from it, you have to learn from it. There was some mistakes that we made, and if we didn't, we would have won that series. So that's what we look at all year now. It's just about getting better. But that was the high, and that was the low, getting to that spot and the process of getting that.
I know you don't want to talk necessarily about yourself. It's all about the team. I understand that. But I don't know sometimes if you get enough recognition. You were the coach of the year, general manager of the year. That's special. And I know you're going to say, hey, that's all reflective of the team and everything like that. But that has to be very rewarding. You wouldn't be human if you said, it didn't mean anything. It's all about the team. I mean, to me, Mark, you wouldn't be human if you just sort of dismissed it. That's an honor you've got to be proud of.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. And there's a lot of people, you know, that helped me along the way. Like I said, when we come in here, when I got hired here, there was a lot of work to do. And I certainly didn't do it all by myself. And, you know, I set the direction in everything and, you know, put pieces together and, you know, work with the coaching staff and stuff like that. And that's what I love to do. You know, and that's my job. But I'm very proud of, you know, the accomplishments and very proud of, like, look at the individual awards we have. But, and I can honestly say that they're shared with everybody. It's, you know, my name's there, you know, I get that recognition and we could certainly trade all that in for that win against Portland.
That's why we look forward to the 2025 playoffs. Where have you grown the most as a coach? Now, let's go back to when you were with Swift Current and, you know, you built a franchise there and, you know, you went to the AHL and you've had a lot of coaching, but, and even since you've come to Prince George, where do you think you have grown the most as a coach?
You know what, you know, the process, the experience, you know, really, really helps. You know, coaching with different people, helps. Keeping my eyes wide open, patience is huge in this business. I'm a fiery guy inside. You know, I really do, but I've really learned to, you know, to see the process and understand the process, and you know, work with these players and give them opportunities to, you know, good players are going to find ways to get better. You know, good attitudes are going to find ways to get better, and discipline. And, you know, it's discipline in myself and how I prepare, and discipline is everything when you're in sports. So I've really grown in all those areas. There's a lot of areas that you have to grow as a coach. You have to learn. The world is changing. The kids are different. Everything's different every year. So you have to really adapt, and you have to grow with it.
Have you always been fairly even keel? When I say that, I compare it to, you know, how some of the coaches are and everything like that. Yeah, you can get emotional and a little bit heated, but that doesn't happen very often. Whether you win or lose, you're on the post-game show fairly quickly after. You've digested the end. Well, you haven't had any losses much at home, but so you haven't had to digest much of that. But, I mean, you've had some shootout losses and in overtime losses, so that's happened. But that being even keel, has that just been part of your nature, or is that something you had to work at?
No, I think it's part of my nature, but, you know, the opportunity and the patience. I don't react, you know, to different things. I have to process it and break the games down after, you know, especially when you're a GM. And I got that advice along, you know, when I first got to the league, Kelly McCrimmon, and, you know, talking to him, and, you know, he's been everything coach, GM, and there's a few of us in the league, and you got to be careful of getting mad. You know, mad can get you in all kinds of trouble, especially if you get mad at a player and you go, okay, well, I'm just going to trade him because you're mad. That could be the craziest and not fair thing to anybody to do. And, you know, that was really good advice. I was kind of like that anyway. And I don't want to do anything until I really know and I really feel comfortable with it. So I really understand that word process now.
So who had a lot of influence? You've had a lot of coaches because you had a great career, obviously NHL, Cup, all that stuff. So you've had a lot of coaches, and not just NHL, when you're in the WHL, all those things. Has there been that coach that's been an influence, or person that really has been a real influence for you?
Oh, yeah. Dave Tippett's been huge. The guy that's probably had the most influence on my career as a player, as a coach, is Russ Farwell in Seattle. I had him in junior. He traded for me when I was in Ottawa, when he was GM of Philadelphia. We've had the relationship since we were 18 years old. Talk about everything, talk about players. If I want to break it right down, you know, the influences in hockey are guys that I played with through the Edmonton organization and winning. That's who I look at, you know, guys that have won, how they've done it, and Russ Farwell, you know, at this level and what he's accomplished and what he's done is right up there.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to obviously mention any names, but were there coaches that you played for that you said, I don't care what, I do not want to be like this person?
You know what, I've had a lot of coaches, and I've never not liked a coach.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No. And I can honestly say that, you know, I've had a lot of different coaches. I've had some crazy coaches, had some fun coaches. I've had different coaches. They all have their own style, but there isn't one that I go, man, I just do not want to play for this guy.
Yeah. That's sort of interesting with all your experience and everything like that. You know, usually there is, you'd think there'd be at least one or two that you say, hey, I just don't want it. But, you know, that's probably a positive for you that you, you know, have not experienced that. Or maybe you just look at it, you know, there's always something to learn from some coach, even if they, you know, may not have the style that you prefer, kind of a thing.
Yeah, you learn. You know, and I, it was a long time ago, and then I'm going back to Russ Farwell again in Medicine Hat. Like when I was playing there and I was doing hockey school and stuff, I was thinking of coaching. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking of doing anything. I wanted to be an NHL hockey player, but always in the back of my mind, even at that young age, I wanted to be in the business. So I've always kept an eye open on coaches and watch people and listen to people. And all these people mostly are guys that have really won.
All right, let's take a look at your roster. Let's get your assessment. Let's start the most important position, which is obviously in goal. You know, when we talk about Josh Ravensbergen, and his numbers are not what they were last year, 3.06, 8.99 at the break. But I'll tell you what, the number that is the most important, and I know that the coaches look at this the most, 16-4-3-1. So, and the other thing, and I've mentioned this to you before, yeah, he may have, probably this year, he's probably given up more soft goals than maybe we expected. However, having said that, he still comes through time and time again in the clutch, in the third period when the game is tied or you really need the save. And I think that is reflected in the 16-4-3-1 as opposed to the save percentage and the goals against average. How do you assess that?
Yeah, he wins. He wins. Yeah. I think he's played unbelievable this year. He used some of the bad goals, but he's a goalie and he's human and he's getting all this attention and he jumped into the spotlight. I think he's handled everything really well. And boy, some of the games that he's played, it's just some of these saves that he makes and how he moves around the net, how he goes about his business. He's been absolutely excellent.
Were you disappointed for him that he did not get an invite for Canada?
Yeah, I'm always disappointed for my players, that don't get invited, and he's earned it and he's deserved it. But there's lots of guys, he's going to get his opportunity, for the World Junior, and wouldn't surprise me if he's a starter next year.
Cooper Michaluk, you had to be happy for him that he got a win and just lost his shutout late against Spokane. His number 881 save percentage, 3.65 GA. Sometimes it's tough to be that backup goaltender. He's 3-5. That includes one win when he had with Spokane. How do you assess him as the backup goaltender? When you traded for the 19-year-old, you knew Josh was going to play probably 2/3 of the games at least. Is Cooper that ideal backup that you were looking for?
Oh man, he's been unbelievable. He's obviously he gets in there his work ethic is off the charts. He's such a great teammate. Being a backup to Ravensburg, and like this is his attitude. He goes in against Spokane, and he's never had a shutout before. In his career, and I go to him after, and I'm going too bad, and he's like, who cares? We got the 2 points.
Yeah.
And
and for those that didn't follow that game, Prince George won 3-1 in Spokane, and he lost a shutout with half a minute left in the third period. And there you were trying to console him a little bit, and he says, hey, we got the win. And for him, that I think that really says a lot, where that's the first thing that was on his mind. All right, we're going to look at your forwards now. And before we do, and we just talked about Josh's situation, but you were happy that Riley got the invite. I think you believed, a lot of PG Cougar fans believed, he was going to make the team. But there's Crystal didn't make the team. They're dealing with a lot of strength. What did you say to Riley when he came back? And he comes back, he scores a goal and right away and after a long trip. And I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is. But did you have to say anything, knowing the disappointment that he had just faced?
Not well. I texted him, when I got the, I texted him and, just said I was proud of him and, try to keep your head up. There's not a lot of consoling you can really do there, but just from our standpoint, we are proud of him. He's our best player. He's been a Prince George Cougar for a long time, and he's the captain of our team. And, You know, that's what I said. And he had a long travel day, and, you know, he walks in, and I go, you can take the day off if you want. And he's, nope, I'm playing. So that speaks volumes of Riley Height.
Well, if he's going to play with a broken jaw, he's not going to not play because he's had a little bit of travel and disappointment. I mean, this he'll play through anything. That broken jaw, that's impressive. He missed two games. He came back with a broken jaw and did it in overtime for you guys.
I mean, yeah, he did that, and you know, that's. But, you know, when something like that happens, you know, you can't eat, you can't do anything. Like, he's walking into that World Junior with all the best players in Canada, and he's not up to speed. Like, he's, you know, I think at one point he was, you know, down 13 to 15 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, Riley Height, it's not to, you know, you can't lose that much. And he just kept going and kept going. He wanted it so bad. And, you know, so him jumping into, you know, hockey like that, it's just too bad that he, you know, it was just such a big obstacle for him. And I certainly believe he could be there or should be there.
All right, talk about your forwards as a group. I mean, Parizak has been, as consistent, and he's why Washington drafted him in the first round. Zimmer leads your team in goals. Vallis is so consistent. Every game we are looking at where we're putting Vallis in the stars. Sometimes he gets in, sometimes he just misses, but he's always in the mix. You've got some depth. Talk about the forwards as a group. Are you pleased? Are you looking for a little bit more? Give us your assessment there.
Oh man, guys have done really well. You talk about Parizak, he just quietly goes about his business. Vallis has been a horse this year.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable. Heider's been, you know, a guy that's been impressive is, you know, even, you know, Zimmer coming back. He's been playing center now, coming back from that hard injury. And, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't get better over the summer. There's a lot of process there. The improvement of guys like, you know, Foster, his games really come. Lee Shergott's come a long way. You know, I can go on and on, you know, through our group. You know, the line of Denny, Foster, and Lajoie right now is just an excellent, excellent line that goes out there and gives you everything. So the improvement is really going through our group. And that's what I look for. You know, you look for. So when guys are improving, it's going to make your team better. The youngness that I don't think we get credit for at all. You know, people just think, you know, we've been around a long time, that we're a team that's looking, going after an old team that's going after a championship. And, you know, we're a team that's a really good team, but we got some really good young pieces on our team.
Well, we look at the back end, and it starts with William Kmetz. I don't know. I can't believe where he started, where he's at now. I mean, clearly, far and away, your best defenseman. And he has done everything for you, considering he's got his shoulder such a young back end. And, I mean, I don't think there's anything more than you could ask from this guy. I just hope that when the season is done, people recognize and he gets some real recognition as a first All-Star.
Yeah, he's had a great, great first half for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of hockey left. But when you look what he's done for our team, you know, he plays both sides of the special teams. He plays against the best player. He's just a minute muncher, never seems to tire. You know, I mean, he's playing with the 16-year-old Carrolls. And, you know, they're one of the top two pairs in the league. You know, Carrolls, you look at his game, he's improving all the time, too. Like, you look at young Anisimov coming over from Russia, pick him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, doesn't speak any English. The improvement that this guy is making game in and game out in the work ethic, it's just, like, when you really break it down player by player, that's what you look for. And there's positives in every one of these guys.
I don't have the stats, but I would think Demanski, if he doesn't lead the team in shots blocked, he's got to be among the top guys. Every time on that penalty kill, he's stopping as much as Ravensbergen.
yeah, you know, that's it's unbelievable what you know, guys are landed on the line to win hockey games. And you know, Doomer is that's what he is, away from the puck, penalty killing. You know, when you look right back at Doomer's career, like when he was 16 years old and he was finding his way, he was still that guy. He was still a really good penalty killer, blocking shots.
Yeah. But it's even, as you can see, as he's got older, he's taken it to even another level, and you can really, you know, count on that. Anything else you want to talk about with the defense, being so young and everything like that?
Well, we've really constructed the D, you know, this year. You know, we brought in Leonard, you know, we've brought in Vaughn, and they're really good aces for us. We didn't really know what we've had in Eastamoff. He's going to be an unbelievable player in this league, we think. But it's, you know, Leith Hunter, he went away for a while. He's really improved. He's an unassuming player out there that, you know, does a lot of good things. So, you know, it's all starting to fit. You know, it's all starting to fit, getting guys in the right spots, getting guys in the right position. You know, we haven't even talked about young Johnson because he's not here anymore. And he's a guy we didn't want to, but we just needed to get him and get him some more ice time. But he certainly can play in this league right now.
What about the Christmas break for the coaching staff? For players, they go home. Maybe they forget about hockey a little bit. Maybe they don't, but they're back with family. What about for the coaching staff, in particular yourself? How does the Christmas break, you know, because you can't make trades during the Christmas break, but you can certainly think about what you may want to do when the little imposed deadline is done, which is right after Christmas. But what about for you? What about for your coaching staff? How does that break sort of work for the team?
Yeah, everyone's, you know, Carter Rigby, you know, he stayed. He's from the area down there. So he stayed in Kelowna, so he'll be with his family. There, Jimmy Playfair has got his family coming out to his lake place, and I'm going to go see my daughter in Revelstoke's, spend a couple of days with her, and then we're going to have Christmas here. My wife's mom's in town, and my boy's here, so we're going to have a quiet Christmas here, and that's what I really like. You know, it's going to be, but you know, the trade deadline, the trade freeze, really doesn't mean anything to me. To any of the GMs, really. You know, we're going to be on the phones. We're going to be looking. If you know, the GMs that are looking to do something, which most are.
So you are able to sort of take that break. You really need it yourself, especially Coach GM. So much going on, and realizing that once you get back at it, between, especially up to January 10th, incredibly hectic when you're wearing both hats. And then after that, it's all about preparing for the playoffs.
Well, it's, you know, the preparing is right now. You know, we haven't changed that. It's different cycles of the year, you know, and we talk about that early, and it gets harder and it gets harder. And like I say, I think we got some hardened players on our team now. They got that experience and know what to expect after Christmas. And, you know, when teams are really fighting and juggling for their spots, and there's a lot that goes into it. And the biggest for any team is health.
Yeah. I guess what I was sort of referring to is that, maybe you don't look at it like this, but I thought I sort of do, and maybe others do. There's the first season that goes to January 10th. You get your rosters all settled, everything like that. Players come back. Players are injured. All of those things. After January 10th, then I don't even know if I want to say it's another level, but it is getting crunch time, getting closer to play. Now you really have to, you know, get yourself ready, because we all know the most important part starts the last week of March and into April, and on it goes. So I sort of look at it. Those are two halves. You had the first half up until January 10th. Now your roster's settled. Now you're really going. Now it's the putting it all together or finalizing it, you know, fine-tuning it so that you are ready for playoffs. Does that sort of make sense?
Well, yeah, that totally makes sense for sure. But, you know, I break it down a little more than that. It's, you know, it's training camp, you know, training camp. And then that regular season game, that first regular season game, really jumps from training camp. So the level keeps improving, you know, up to the trade deadline. When you get into, you know, probably November, December, everyone's got their team. You know, this is the team that you're going to have, and there's a few trades that have been made. So you're seeing where you're at with your team. So that's kind of like another area to see which direction you're going to go leading up to the trade deadline. After the trade deadline, it is hard. You know, it's hard. The level really jumps right up to the end of the season, and then playoffs. Then it jumps again. Yeah. Now it gets really, really hard, and there's no room out there. And then the whole process that I just talked about before that is what you're preparing your team for that playoff, because that's what it takes that step. And hopefully, you have the type of team that, because you never know who you're really going to play, that can play, you know, any type of system and be able to play against a team, a tough team, a team that has speed, a rush team. You have to have all the elements on your team to take on any team.
It's sort of funny, like nobody probably would have thought that, you know, you'd have some difficulty against Portland, where teams that may be a little bit better than Portland or at least on par, you've had a lot of success against. I guess that's all part of the uniqueness of the matchups.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes you cannot put your finger on it. I've played on teams, I've coached teams where you're not even that good of a team, but you have the other team's number for some reason. That's maybe the top team in the league. You're going in, and sometimes you win in some building that you can't put your finger on. And, you know, so that's the fun of sports. You know, you just... Some teams kind of have your number for whatever reason, but it works both ways.
Yeah, for sure. Last words, if you want to mention, say happy holidays to the PG Cougar fans. I know that you do. I know that you're very appreciative of the support and how things have grown. But as we sign off this one, our mid-season break podcast went a little bit longer than normal, but I'll give you a chance to have a final word.
Well, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas for sure. The fans have been excellent. The people have been excellent. I can't say enough about the whole organization. You know, the people that I work with, you know, the scouts, the ownership group has been incredible. You know, you talk about people that don't get enough credit, like these guys are, you know, they're right at the top. Obviously, they're the owners, but they go just, you know, about their business quietly. And you know, they had some hard years here, and they stuck it out. And you know, I think everyone should be very proud of this organization.
All right, you have a great holiday season, Christmas with you and your family, and look forward to 2025 for sure. Take care.
All right, thanks, Arthur.
You bet. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You have been listening to the Cougars CatScan podcast. Have a great one.